Today's episode of TMS is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Use the code FROGPANTS at checkout and save 10% on your next fantastic website. That's squarespace.com. Get the free trial and use the code FROGPANTS at checkout for 10% off. Squarespace. Build it beautiful. Coming up on TMS, Laid Low.
Brian has jazz hands.
Well, that's quite an offer.
You have a slice of ham where?
You don't want to know. Arkansas judge likes red ham too.
Lots of ham. KFC lied to me.
Also, probably
not,
some
ham. Not ham, though.
Probably a little ham in there.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. You never know with KFC. There's always some kind of weird meat that isn't chicken in there. Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Get off the bike. Get off the bike. Step away from the bike.
Boy, didn't we just tell you not to do that?
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Squeerini.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is TMS for Monday, the 24th of October, 2016, with Scott Johnson, me, and Brian Ibbethim.
Yeah, that is correct, yes.
How's it going, man? I'm going to see you in like a week and a half. Or something.
The crazy pants is what that is.
I'll tell you what, though. There's some talk around the Johnson clan here. There's a vote going on.
Mm-hmm.
That we may
kick me off the island.
No, we may not. We may not end up at Disneyland after all on Wednesday.
Wow.
We may end up instead at Huntington Beach because they're all acting like they want to go to the beach.
And, well, yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know
yet. That's what Tristan and I are going to do. We get in early enough on Wednesday that we're going to go hit the beach. Kind of not a ritual. A tradition.
Sure.
That we come in from the airport, we change, you know, we throw our luggage at the hotel, and then we hop in the car, we hit an In-N-Out burger, and then hit the beach.
I love that every time you're in California,
In-N-Out burger.
Absolute
well,
thing you do.
Because you're so damn spoiled there with your In-N-Out burger.
We have it so much here that I'm sick of it, kind of. Like, I kind of don't need to go there anymore. And so when I hear somebody else talking about it in the old way that I used to, it's just weird to hear it. But
we used to have that with IKEA as well, and then we got our own.
Yeah,
now we don't care about your damn IKEA. You can keep your damn IKEA.
Yeah, nobody goes to IKEA when you got one. It's only when you don't have one that you go there. I mean, occasionally you go there. You got to get a little cheap furniture or whatever, but...
And I'm so hooked on the damn Jimmy John's Unwiches, which is the sandwich with where they replace the bread with lettuce wrap that I'm totally on board with. I've never had one, but I'm totally on board with a In-N-Out Burger animal style protein.
Oh, yeah, protein style. My wife loves that.
Protein style animal style.
Protein style animal style. It's Brian's favorite sex book. He rents it from the early bars in the library.
Who needs the Kama Sutra when you have protein style animal style?
Yeah, it's a great book. It lasts the test of time, and y'all should get
that
it.
That way we can both watch X-Files. What?
Nicely done. All right, so here we are. We're doing it, and we should probably get a show underway. Hey, you're all asking yourselves, Scott, what happened to that Thursday PM edition of the show?
Yeah.
And I got a little story to tell you. So Brian, who, you know, is Johnny on the spot Thursday, right on time. We're supposed to record at 3:30.
Hold on, taking a drink because you said Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, do that. Drink that. He texts me, you know, on time, like, hey, how's it going over there? I'm like, no answer from Scott, eh? Wonder what that's
no
about. So later, I wake up from my death nap because probably the worst day was Thursday. I was so sick that day.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever, I had gone to sit on a couch and just take a minute. I was like, I just need a minute here. And then that turned into like, seriously, like a 4-hour coma. And I didn't wake up until I did. And when I did, I looked at the phone and it was like 5 o'clock or something, 4 o'clock. And right. You had sent me a message saying, I'm guessing you were too sick or something. And I'm like, ah, shite. I've never slept through a showtime in my life.
I said something like, I hope the fact that I haven't heard from you means you're getting a well-needed sleep, and I hope I didn't just wake you up by sending you this text.
Yeah, Brian always says the nicest text, and you didn't wake me up.
Good.
but nothing did. Like, my wife couldn't get me up. Like, I was a complete dead to the world thing. And yeah, that was a real bummer. So I apologize to everybody for Thursday. It just went sour. And the whole weekend was like this. It was just on and off me sort of. I mean, here's what I did, Brian. I laid in bed a lot and I played Hearthstone a lot, which I know is weird. for me, because I'm not really that big of a Hearthstone fan, but I played that a bunch, and I got a, I opened a, my very first pack in a long time of opening a pack of cards, and I got a gold Yogg-Saron card.
Wow.
Yeah, which is super rare and hard to get, and if I'd have gotten it just a week ago, I could have turned it in for like 3,600 dust, but not now. Now it's that's over. That's been nerfed or whatever.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, bummer.
But it's still a good card. So I have the card, and that's good, and it's gold and whatever. And I played Civilization VI a whole bunch because that takes me to a place where I don't have to think about how rotten I felt. It takes me to a place where I just have to focus on how much of the world I'm taking over. And Civ, the Civ games have always been a favorite for me, but man, Civ VI got your claws right under my, my skivvies there. You're just holding me tight, and way to go for Axis and 2K Games and everybody for making a hell of a Civ game. That game's real good. Nice. If you want to watch time just melt away as if it means nothing,
yeah,
like just whew, into the wind, an hour means nothing. It's like we're living in a Star Trek episode where time means Zippo, where time stands still. Play Civilization VI.
Really? It just whisks you away like Kalyan?
Yeah, and you're gone. The time's gone. You can't account for it. Mm-hmm. Hours go away, and you're like, "Where did the whole afternoon go?" Like it's insane. So it's probably something I shouldn't be doing at all, but it's pretty great. Anyway,
Right around BlizzCon time, I always get back into Blizzard games that I haven't played in a while. So I'm sure within the next 7 days, I'm going to be playing a lot of Hearthstone. Probably jump back into Diablo a little bit and just.
That's how it goes.
It's like a little refresher. It's like, oh, I forget how much I love all their games.
Yeah. But Civ VI, I don't know. That's a,
well, that's not, a whole different thing.
Obviously not Blizzard, but yeah, they're something else.
That's what they're going to be announcing, though?
It's that's their new game, yeah.
Azeroth Civilization.
Diablo Civ. You manage and build your devil man and make him the best devil man there is. So, Walking Dead happened last night. Please, nobody spoil me. I haven't caught up yet. I do the whole day after thing because I'm an unplugger, so I have to get it on Amazon or something, or iTunes or whatever, and I don't want to be spoiled. I can tell you this, though. While we were raiding, you and I were raiding with the raid team last night, and Nick walked in. And I'll go, hey, buddy, because he had just come from a watching party. Like, he's now...
Oh, he went to an... Okay, like... like a friend's house where they're all watching The Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's just, well, it's his sister's. And so he drove out there with his friend to Taylor's place, watched it there. Taylor's a huge fan, so makes sense. Comes all the way back out here. And then I look at him and go, hey, bud, how'd it go? And he has the most forlorn look to him. He just looked like sick and lost. And I said, what's the matter, buddy? And he goes, that was the most screwed up thing I think I've ever seen on TV. I said, don't tell me what happened.
Right.
But have I failed you as a parent? Are you going to have nightmares all night tonight? Like, tell me where you're at with this. And he says, no, I was just messed up, Dad. He goes, I don't know if I can sleep. And then he says, I got to go watch something that's nice.
Yeah.
I said, totally. Really? And he goes, yeah. I go, I can't sleep unless I can watch something nice. So like, he went upstairs.
Wash it down with some Bob's Burgers or something.
Yeah. It's usually what they'll pick is some animated thing.
Yeah.
But he went up and watched Seinfeld, which is, that'll work. That'll
do it. That's good too.
Yeah. So he was okay. Got up on time for school. Everything seems fine. But
what is the deal with the baseball bat?
What's going on?
With barbed wire wrapped around it?
Why is Negan so crazy?
He's got woman hands. How does he hold that baseball bat with woman hands?
I thought it was the other way around. Oh, yeah. It was man hands. The lady with man hands. When she's touching his face. Oh, my gosh. So good. Anyway, so that's the deal.
There were a couple of us in Raid who were definitely a little less animated last night because of that show. It drained us.
Laid you low. So instead, so what I did instead is I went and watched Westworld because I'd had another epic nap on Sunday and I wasn't tired yet. So I laid there in bed and watched Westworld on the iPad Pro there. And man, that show's good. Oh,
good episode last night.
So good. I don't even know. Cool. I don't even know what to think. Next week's preview looks amazing. Also, if you've been watching that show and you were all hoping that Anthony Hopkins got a chance to be all Anthony Hopkins all up in this. Mm-hmm. He totally did that last night. Like he gets
excellent.
He gets to a place where you're like, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. No spoiler. Just you know, interesting
looking
scene
for it. That's tonight. It's Westworld and the last episode and a half of Luke Cage.
Ah, you'll have to tell me if the ending is as bad as Eric Van Skyhawk claims it is.
He was a little disappointed in the ending, it sounds like.
Yeah, he was real fired up. On Slack, he was like really fired up about it. He's wow. Like, worst ending ever. What a stupid ending. He's freaking
he's
out
the
about
only,
it.
He's the only person I've heard that's complained about the ending of Luke Cage. So I'm hoping it just rubbed him the wrong way.
Yeah. He's also the only person I know of that thinks that... what are they called in there? Mythic dungeons are broken because you have to have a group of friends to do it. He thinks it's completely busted because you have to have friends go with you.
Oh, no, I've done Mythic's LFG.
Yeah, don't tell him that. Well, no, yeah. I mean, there's no... If you're doing Mythic dungeons, there is... You can do the tool, and that's what I told him.
Yeah.
I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, me, Brian...
But he's saying you'll only be successful if you go in there with friends, is what he's saying.
I'm not sure he's tried any of it. I think he thinks you should just be able to queue with a bunch of randos and go.
Oh, okay.
Like LFG style. And you
can't. Yeah, you can't?
No.
I thought
you cannot do that. You have to...
Oh, I thought I did. I thought...
To do Mythic, you got to go to the stone. You got to meet with people. You have to go in there, plant, you know, like the whole... It's the idea is to throw it back to an earlier time in the game and remind people what it was like to actually, you know, create that social experience. Well, he can do it with people he doesn't know with the custom... group tool, but he still has to do it there.
Okay.
Standing in front of the stone. Like he has to still manually go in there and group up and everything. And he thinks that's broken.
But you just can't use the LFG tool or the, not the LFG, but the.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, LFG. I mean, the looking for group tool.
Yeah.
Automatically be paired up with people. Right?
Correct. I think that they'll probably at some point put that back in there, but right now they want you to.
Well, he's in Discord. There's almost always a bunch of people playing.
Gee, I wonder, you know. I wonder where we could find the world's largest guild.
Pete's sake.
With people on all the time. With more
for
people.
For the sake of Pete.
More people in the guild than any guild in the history of Warcraft. I wonder where he could be involved in that. Oh, yeah. He's in that guild.
Oh.
Come on, Eric. Right. Come on, Eric.
So, I did something this weekend, Scott.
Tell me what you did.
Well, all right. So, you know, next month, Nintendo has that whole... Nintendo Classic Console thing coming out, right? Like mid next month?
Yeah, I think I order that? I may have wanted to and they didn't have a pre-order, but I want it, yes.
I don't think they have a pre-order yet, but it's got 30 games on it, 30 classic Nintendo games, and this seemed like a really good inspiration for your friend and mine, Mr. Andrew Allen, to do covers of songs from every single game on the Nintendo Classic Console, all 30 games. Oh, it's not just your Mario and your Zelda and your Donkey Kong. Oh no. It's covers of like Kirby and Pac-Man and Castlevania and this and that and... Anyway, so
Punch
it is
Out.
A,
it's Punch Out, not Mike Tyson's though. It's Punch Out featuring Mr. Dream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, we launched a Kickstarter this weekend for this album. It is continuing the long tradition of Andrew Allen albums, jazz cover albums, and so we're gonna have some artwork from you. This time, I'm throwing in some artwork. I'm doing the album cover. I already have kind of a mock-up of it on the Kickstarter site, but it's rough cover.
Nice.
And if you go to tinyurl.com/jazzness, JAZZNESS. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Jazzness.
I get it.
Then you can pre-order this thing. He's almost got all the songs completely done. So basically, as soon as the Kickstarter ends and funds are transferred and all that stuff, then people are going to get their digital copy of the music right away.
That's awesome. That seems great. So coming right up, and I'm excited because we haven't had a new thing from Andrew Allen for a little bit. There's a little bit of a break there.
A little bit, yeah. The Star Wars thing last year, and we did this one a little bit later this year than we usually do. And it's funny because we've got three albums. Well, this is one of the three, but this one and two other albums that we're in the process of working on. Not to mention the Las Vegas album that I'm working on with Same Sex Mary. Mm. So, Coverville Records, man, it is it's a happening crazy thing, and there's lots of stuff going on. So this is the current thing.
Are you a little nervous about this? Speaking of the console, this NES Classic thing. Are you a little
nervous about it?
Are you worried at all that when we get it, we're going to see those 30 games and go, oh, that's right, these are just kind of okay?
Well, Ice Climber.
I mean, I love that stuff in the day. Don't get me wrong. I put a lot of quarters in Ice Climber. I played it again on the NES. Like, I love this stuff. Every game listed here I'm excited about. But I wonder if in actual usage, I'm just going to go, oh, well, yeah, my nostalgia bone is much more excited about this than my...
I think
bone.
So. I think it's going to be the same as you find with many of those things like that. Like, you remember when you could get that Atari 2600 joystick that actually had games built in and had a... Basically, it was an Atari 2600 joystick that had a yellow core, a yellow wire, and a white wire coming out of the back, or a red one. And you just plug it into the back of your TV when we had component inputs.
Yep.
And...
or composite.
And we'd get, and basically it'd be like, here's 50 games from the Atari, and you'd play Adventure once and say, oh god, this is the only reason to play Adventure is to just do the Easter egg and see the hidden names, because once you know it, you know it.
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's be honest here. Atari games were garbage games. They weren't great. They were never good.
It's like you settle on Yar's Revenge and the old Atari Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was terrible, though. It had those, like, slabs instead of dots. Oh, it was so bad.
Right, and the ghosts, because of interlacing, would be like, they'd really be ghosty because they couldn't draw them when they were in the straight line.
Yeah, that was bad.
So they'd all fade out. Yeah.
This is a terrible port. But I mean, in at least in the NES's case, it was like an evolution of things. It was like quality stuff. The games were actually fun to play. Like, the 8-bit era was a strong era, but I still think I'm going to get it and go, yeah, all right, I've had my fill. I more want it just to have the tiny ass thing. I just want that little thing. Look at
right.
it. I'm looking at this photo. It's so little.
If that's what you want, let's just 3D print you one and stick a Raspberry Pi in there, and then it's not limited to just those 30 games, right?
See, that's the other thing, is I have the Raspberry Pi right over here just waiting for me to do something with it. Maybe I just need to get off my butt and do it. I got a neighbor who's totally going for it right now, and he's making me jealous. Not that neighbor. Different neighbor, everybody.
But a neighbor who's doing the arcade cabinet thing?
Yeah, and it's awesome. Yeah. And he's totally way ahead of me and has time for it. And
see, that's the problem. I've got the same thing. Right there is a box that has all the buttons and joysticks and everything that I bought.
Yep.
I've got the plans right here in a folder that says arcade cabinet. I just need to get off my butt, cut the plywood, and do it.
It's all about execution, Brian. It's hard.
It is.
It's hard. It is. All right, you have a few hours left to submit your video and win cool stuff. We have a whole prize package for the October Halloween TMS 30-Second Film Festival.
Mm-hmm. I posted a photo of some of the goodies you're going to get in there. It's a bunch of video game-related toys and T-shirts and games and stuff. And, of course, there's also an Extra Life hardback or a hardcover edition.
Oh, right, exactly.
David's thrown in.
Yeah. So if you wanted a copy of my book, but you never got it, this is a great way to win that. There's very little time left. But here's what I wanted to say to people. You might be thinking, well, it's today, I can't do it. No, you can. You can literally take your phone and go do something funny for Halloween for 30 seconds and post it. And you never know if it's creative or funny enough. You might just win.
Totally.
So it doesn't. There's no rules that make it so you need like a whole month to plan your production. It doesn't work like that. So do that. Submit your videos at tiny.cc/TMS October Films. Okay. Yes. I couldn't remember if that was it. TMS October Films. So tiny.cc/TMS October Films is the correct one. All right. Let's do Daryl time. I forgot to do the pre-call thing because Skype's stupid.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So we're just going to do it the old fashioned.
There was an update. Who knows? Maybe that part is working better.
No, I'm already getting calls that are wrong. So.
Oh, okay.
It's all right. Piece crap garbage. All right. So, Brian, I'm going to call you right back after I take this call from this person. Let's see if this works. Hi, who's this? Hello? Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Emily.
Oh, well, hello, Emily. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm so nice. You sound so pleasant today. That's just a very pleasant greeting that you gave me, and it made my morning better. So thank you for that pleasant greeting.
Oh, thanks.
It's Brian, it's Emily on the line.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
There's Brian.
I'm doing pretty well. How are you, Brian?
Good. Welcome.
Isn't she nice? She's so nice.
She is nice. This brightens our Monday.
I need more nice people in my life. She's so nice. All right. Anyway, Emily, you know the drill, but we're going to tell you the drill anyway. Oh, I got to add Daryl to this. Hold on a second. This will just take a second here, folks. One of these days, I'll have a real switcher system for phones, and we're all going to be happier then. Especially okay. That guy that always emails us or tweets us and makes fun of us for having Skype problems, which really aren't my fault. All right, I'll play the song. We'll do the thing. Here we go.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
Jeez. Echo.
It's that time again where we stump Daryl, and it's brought to you by...
The new album from Stephen Cogswell, available from stephencogswell.ca. Another 12 tracks of instrumental rock. Use the code POOPJOKES, all one word, to get a ridiculous discount. Also, watch Night Attack. That's Stephen Cogswell, StevenCogswell.ca.
I like the sneaky little plug for Night Attack he throws in there. I know. Yeah, those chuckleheads don't need any help from us.
No, exactly.
Jeez. All right. Hey, Emily's on the phone. Daryl's on the phone. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good.
Yeah? Did it involve... I was thinking of you and I was watching the Logan trailer there, you know, with the old man Logan, rated R, red band, new Wolverine movie coming out. Mm-hmm. And that features one Patrick Stewart in disarray, not seen since, I believe, when he was saying there were four lights. Like, he looks like Star Trek ass, like hanging naked Picard in this.
It's very disheveled and old and crusty.
And then in the back of a car for some reason.
Flopping
constantly.
Around in the back of a car with no seatbelt.
Yeah. Have you seen that, Daryl? The trailer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should.
No.
You should. Just to see Picard in a whole new light, which are four of them, I guess. There are four lights on Picard. Anyway, that reminded me of you, so I thought I'd bring that up. Hey, Emily, we're going to tell you the rules. Brian's going to explain it. He'll tell you what you could win. Oh, and I have the package today. Hold on.
Oh, it's yours? Okay, cool.
I think so. Let me, you tell her the rules.
You did the cue thing on Thursday.
Oh, I did.
So I've got this. I've got something in front of me here.
Right. You know that small video game thing you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, the Raspberry Pi.
I have that.
Kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have that one. Not the Raspberry Pi, just the regular one.
What do you mean? What was it?
I mean the regular one.
Yeah,
the Atari
thing.
One.
Oh,
the joystick.
Yeah. Okay. Are you like me and realized after you got it that all the games are terrible and it was a complete waste of money? Did you realize that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's pretty fun.
Oh, Atari sucks. Listen.
Which one?
Oh, no, never mind. I had a Mattel.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
I don't know if that was ever on Atari, so never mind. Ignore me.
Oh, okay. Oh. Now you're fine. No, we had, the only good Atari game that ever happened was Combat. That was a good game.
Oh, that's not the only good Atari game.
Name another one.
The Activision Star Wars game where it's your snowspeeder against the walkers, that was a blast.
That was, wait a minute, which one was that?
Side view, and you've got a snowspeeder, and you're flying against the walkers, and there's like a flashing, glowing spot on them that's their weak spot, and you take them down with that.
Maybe I never played it.
Yar's Revenge was great. I think Kaboom. I still say Kaboom was a great game.
Yar's Revenge, I'll give you that one. Kaboom, I don't remember Kaboom. Every game they made was made of like five little boxes.
Right.
It was
and
all,
we liked it at the time.
Two colors, five boxes. How you knew those were AT-ATs and snow speeders, I'll never know. And all the sound effects were the same three sounds. And they were...
right.
Captain
Kipper is correcting me. Did I not say snowspeeder? I'm pretty sure I didn't say land speeder, did I?
No, you said snowspeeder, I heard.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, Pitfall. Of course, how can we forget about Pitfall?
People think Pitfall was good. No, it wasn't.
I liked it.
That is not a good game.
Yeah, it's good just for the music.
No. It's a bad game. So this is what's happening. You're having nostalgia now about a thing that you think was better than it is. If you played Pitfall right now, you'd go, oh my gosh, when and why? Like, it's bad. Yeah. It's bad. I guarantee you it's bad. Pitfall's bad. Now listen, at its day, sure, it's the best thing he could do. But go back now and play it. Your nostalgia will wash away like a light coat of paint. And you'll be exposed to the underbelly of what is one of the worst experiences you'll ever have. It's a bad video game. So, hey, hats off to all you Atari fans, but that stuff was garbage. All right. Anyway, Brian, how's it work? What's this thing
do? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask Daryl a trivia question, and he's going to dispute it and argue it, and eventually he's going to answer it. Once he does, and he's going to give us a wrong answer, by the way. Once he does, we're going to ask you, Emily, whether the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you're correct today, appropriately enough, you could win this Firefly in action figure. It really is an action figure. It's got 4 points of articulation. He can move each arm, a leg. He can turn his head. 5 points of articulation. It's Hoban Washburn. Comes with little plastic dinosaurs. It's part of the Firefly series of reaction figures.
Nice. Do you know how have you heard the story? How do Reavers clean their spears?
I knew this was coming up as soon as I picked this prize.
They put them through the wash. That's pretty good if you've seen Serenity. Anyway.
Too soon.
Well, yeah, 2005, too soon. Well, anyway, Emily, does that all make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
All right, that's a fine prize to win as well. I'm jealous.
Yes, and appropriate, and is the category today.
Wait.
Oh, Firefly?
I've never actually seen, I've only seen, two episodes of Firefly, so I can't really help Daryl.
Then it's a good thing you don't have to answer this question.
Well, except for the higher lower part.
Well, yeah, but
Daryl, where are you? You know what? I just realized I've never asked Daryl where he's at with Firefly as our resident science fiction guy who loves the Star Trek side of sci-fi. I don't know where you're at with that.
I think I watched something like 5 episodes
of Firefly,
and that's it.
Yeah. And then I got distracted by something else.
Well, you should go back and finish it and then watch Serenity, the 2005 film that kind of, sums everything up. It's fantastic. Yeah. It is still the leading, it's the movie I've seen more times than any film ever. I've seen that movie 19 times now.
19 wow. times.
19.
Now, here's the cool thing is that both of you, even though you haven't seen the entire long run of Firefly. I know you guys haven't had time to watch 12 episodes in a movie.
Yeah.
I'm almost halfway there.
Yeah. you guys will be able to answer this question even without having seen that show.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right. Brian, let's hear here it is. Firefly. I'm going to ask you the question.
I've done my job, John.
You've done everything you need to do. Exactly. Firefly first aired in 2002, Daryl. What is the combined age of the main 9 actors and actresses when the show first aired? All right, so 2002 was the year. We need the combined age of those main actors. That's 9 total actors and actresses. I guess we could just call them all actors. Jeez, Ice Worm. Let's get a little more. Let's get up to 2016, buddy. When the show first aired. So what do you think that number is?
The combined age.
Yeah, how old would that, if you put them all together, how old would that geezer be?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, were there... There weren't any really old people in there to throw all this off, were there?
Well, I was gonna say, are we? We're not going to tell you that.
There weren't
any babies.
No, there were no babies, but there were some young. I'll just say this: there were some young people and there were some older people. There you go.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, then I'll just say 279.
279 years.
I see what you're doing there. You're kind of thinking
31.
Yeah, like an average age, right?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. It sounds like Emily even kind of knows what you're up to there. All right, so you say seven. What'd you say?
279.
279. Brian, is that right?
279 is incorrect. Mm. Emily, is the actual answer higher or lower than 279?
Okay, because there's that old preacher guy, and then there's Nathan Fillion, and I don't know how old he was, and then Summer Glau is a person, and there's that girl from Space Cases, who I also don't know how old she was.
Oh my gosh, I may have found my soulmate on the internet. You describe things the way I do, and you called him Nathan Fillion. That was amazing. All right, anyway.
That was a mistake. I apologize.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
No, it's because that's really close. Because I was gonna guess 270, but I'm also not Daryl, so he guessed really close to what I was thinking. So I don't know how old that preacher guy was. There's that lady who dressed really nice. I guess.
Oh my god, it is like listening to a female Scott.
It's like someone gave me a voice changer or something and just turned me into a female.
Dressed real nice. I love it. I love it.
It's really great.
So, I almost want to give you the prize just for that.
Yeah, no, she should get the prize just for a good impression.
So what did you, I'm sorry, I talked over you. You said, did you say?
It's higher, it's like slightly higher. I'm just scared I'll get it wrong, and then y'all ban me from ever calling in again. And,
well, at least for 2 weeks. But let's see if you're right. Maybe you're right. I don't know. You say it's higher. Let's check with the judges. Is the number higher?
Congratulations.
Yes, it is.
You're a winner.
Not only is it higher, just like you expected, it was slightly higher.
Barely higher. 283 is the answer.
Wow. Right.
Daryl was off by 4 years.
Yep. So here's your breakdown. Nathan Fillion was 31. Gina Torres was 33. Alan Tudyk was 31.
By the way, Gina Torres dressed really nice too, but...
Oh, yeah. No, she dressed lovely, I thought.
Yeah.
By the way, she was in... What was she just in?
I just saw something with her as well. She's the wife of somebody. Oh, Westworld.
Oh, in Westworld. Yeah. She's Bernard's ex-wife.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. That I was a nice surprise. I really liked seeing her.
Yes.
Marina Bakarilova Navin, the one Brian liked so much, was 23 at the time. Adam Baldwin was 40. He's already a crusty old bastard by then. Jewel State was 20.
Really? She wasn't even drinking age.
She was only 20?
Yeah.
That surprises me. Sean Mayer, the brother, he was 27. Summer Glau was 21. And Ron Glass was 57. Yeah. He was the preacher dude. Book.
Book? Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, thinking 31, both Fillion and Tudyk were 31. So, good job on using that as your... as your basis for multiplication.
Those guys are basically our age, aren't they? Pretty much. A little younger. Tiny bit.
Yeah, right.
All right. Actually, let's see. Gina Torres would be exactly our age. She looks a lot better than me at our age.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm giving her points.
I'd even say Ron Glass looks better than me.
Ron Glass with all that hairdo when he has it all out. Oh, man. So cool. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, right.
This is so two things we've learned today. One, the really good guessing on both parts, both Daryl's part and Emily's part. Mm-hmm. Two, you win a thing, and Brian will get y'all, or you get the data info to Brian in the chat room, that's all taken care of.
Now you have a little figure that you can watch the other 10 episodes of Firefly with, as well as the movie.
And that was the third. That was the third thing. You two get off your butts and watch the rest of Firefly.
Yes.
It's one of the greatest things ever made, and deserves to be watched by right.
I watched Castle.
People.
Does that count?
No, no, it does not count. In fact, Castle.
Castle's the prelude. It's what happens to Captain Mal before he becomes a space pilot.
Yeah, and that's why they canceled that when they did, because, you know, it was time. I would kill for a reboot of Firefly, but...
Oh, yeah, for
man,
sure.
It's not going to happen, I don't think. Anyway.
That's the words I was looking for.
Well done, everyone. That was awesome. So, Emily, we'll be back to you soon. Congratulations once again. Daryl, way to go. Good thing all around, I think.
That's
not really a phrase, but I'll say it anyway. All right, Daryl. Hey, what's going on? Oh, I know. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there. You can find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a game with us, probably YouTube related. Is it YouTube related today?
Oh, it is.
Oh, good.
YouTube.
YouTube. Here, wait.
YouTube.
There you go. Hello.
I am going to be part of a query that I've entered into. Hey, YouTube.
Okay.
Uh-oh, did something
you're
happen?
Fine. You lag. No, you're fine. You're fine.
Okay.
You're good.
YouTube. To continue.
Yeah.
You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay. What's the difference between nothing and nothing? Some interesting lag happening. It's fine.
No, kidding.
I'm going to move my phone.
I'm enjoying it. It's fine.
I moved the phone.
Okay. You sound better now.
Where did you move it to?
Yeah, where was
about
it before?
1 foot east.
Oh, okay. Okay. 1 foot east?
1 foot east. Yeah. That's my favorite sitcom from the 70s.
Oh, that was so good, 1 foot east. They should reboot that. Love that. Watched that when I was six or 7 years old. Yeah, go ahead.
You're going to want to watch this YouTube thing, too.
Okay.
I found it slightly amusing.
All right.
Okay. Watch this blank.
Watch this blank?
Mm-hmm.
Watch this blank. Oh, man, Brian, I don't even know where to go on that.
Watch this.
Okay, I'm going to say something like... YouTube is so full of, like, let's plays and things like that. I'll bet it's watch... Is it watch me or watch this?
Watch this.
I'll say watch this video game.
Hmm.
Which probably isn't right, because you said, you guys need to see this, and that doesn't sound like something I'd need to see. But
Watch this space.
Oh, hey, keep your eye on this space for big stuff coming up.
Right.
That sounds like some early internet
something
bullshit.
You'd put, like you'd put a video up there just as a placeholder until you get something else there.
Yeah.
Or under, yeah, and we'd all love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Or like the old under destruction.
People who don't understand how the internet works.
The old under construction animated GIFs of the early 1994s. What am I trying to say? The old internet.
Yes, yeah. Right.
I hated
right.
those. Freaking hated them. All right, so those are our two guesses. How did we do there?
Okay, the real number one answer is watch this front flip.
Oh.
Watch this front flip?
Okay, mine says watch. Oh, my first and second are totally different. I have watch this gameplay. Oh, that's close to mine.
Which is really close to yours, yeah.
Yeah, and then the second one was watch this when you're high. And then I have watch this front flip. Okay, so I want to see what that is.
I have watch this front flip.
Okay, yeah. And is it the little tiny man?
Yeah.
Okay, here, chat room.
Let's see.
It's a little tiny man.
Hold Not on. Good for radio, but it's fun to watch.
That's fine. Okay, I'm going to play it. Here we go. It's good for
watch
the...
Watch this front flip.
Really? That's a meme?
Oh, it's because it made a little badoink sound. See, this is the difference. Because he's a little, I'm trying to be nice here. Yeah, and he's a Viner kid. He's like big on Vine. And so I think this was probably originally a Vine because it's square. So let me try that one more time. So listen to a little badoink at the end.
Watch this front flip.
I got to capture that drip out. That's a great little sound effect.
That's not bad. All right. Well, Daryl's off to cap out some drip outs. See ya. All right.
Cap out some drip outs.
It made no sense. Oh, I need cold medicine. What's this here? Oh, I know. How about this?
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Tis the news brought to you by.
Ever wanted to make and display real life holograms? Yes. Well, now you can. Head to holovec.com and check out our Kickstarter campaign because the future is now.
Is it now or nigh?
It is now.
It's not nigh then? It's not
Could
nigh.
Could be nigh too, right? Okay. Future's nigh.
Future's nigh, the science guy.
By the way, I have to throw a really quick shout out to Steph and Jason and Haas, TMS listeners that I met with on Friday. I met with Haas to give him his prize package that he won from Stump Daryl, right?
His real name Haas then?
No, his real name is Jesse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I like Haas. Haas is
gave
cool.
Gave me a really cool Oregon Ducks baseball cap, which I have upstairs. That's and super cool. And a couple beers from Oregon. And then I met with Steph and Jason for dinner. You know them as Another J. Martin and Musical Chemist.
Oh, no way. Cool.
We had Thai food. They met the crazy neighbors. They had dinner with the crazy neighbors who were relatively crazy.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. And then we went on the Pearl Street Mall and had more drinks and saw the entertainment and crazy people there. And then went and played video games and pinball and air hockey for a while.
Tell me about this mall. Is it like a mall or a...
It's an outdoor mall, but it's kind of the central focus of Boulder. And it's an outdoor mall with not a lot of chain stores, but a really cool video game arcade. A bunch of really cool bars and restaurants and an excellent kite store called Into the Wind that has way more than just kites. I mean, it is, you walk in there and you want to spend all your money because it's toys and distractions for your desk and all sorts of things.
We have a thing like that in a place called Trolley Square, which is a similar sort of deal. Mm-hmm. And it's like the same thing, except it's way more than kites. Like you go in, the weird thing is I don't even know if they sell very many kites. Like I walk in there and just think, well, who's buying kites here?
Yeah.
Somebody, obviously. But
right. They have displays of kites on the front, and they're probably the same kites they've had there for the last 10 years because everybody else is buying little monster alien finger puppets and stuff.
That's awesome. Well, I like both those people that you mentioned, all three of them.
Another nice. J. Martin just reminded me that the first thing that they asked, that Crazy Neighbors asked Steph and Jason, were sitting down to... in the restaurant, we just met and hugged in the doorway and they're handing us our menus and crazy neighbors look over at Steph and Jason and say, so, have you been to any dispensaries yet?
Oh, man. That was their first thing out of their mouth.
One of the first things out of their mouth.
Dave didn't whip out his bong and go check this out or anything like that?
That came later. Later, yeah.
All right. Well, they are the crazy neighbors. Well, all right. Let's take a look at today in news.
Yes.
As we hurtle closer to the end of humanity on the 8th of November. A 20-year-old woman offers her virginity for $400,000 after her family lost everything in a fire.
Oh, jeez.
That's the first thing you'd think of, Brian. Let's say a fire burned down the place.
Right, right. I've lost all my belongings. Well, nothing to do but sell my virginity.
That's right. She's offering up her virgin for more than $400,000 after her family lost everything. In a devastating house fire, Catherine Stone, age 20, decided to move to one of Nevada's infamous brothels last year so she could sell her virginity. Her controversial decision has shocked many who feel she should be doing it for love, but she claims that's exactly what she's doing. People say you are supposed to do it for love, but if you think about it, I'm doing this because I love my family, she's told CNN. In 2014, her family lost everything after a devastating fire broke out in her home in Seattle, and they didn't have an insurance, so nothing to cover it. When Catherine came across an advert on Facebook about the brothel and the money she could make, she says this: "It made me think, wow, it's a chance to fix all that I need to fix. I have the right to choose what I do with my body, and in this troubling economy, can you blame me?
And in this troubling economy," I love that.
Yeah.
"I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message."
I mean, look, I'm going to say two things. One, I agree with her. It is her body. You should be able to do whatever you want. Yeah. I have no right to tell you what to do, and I would never. But also, I just feel like there's other ways. That's all.
Yes, there's absolutely other ways. And here's one of the even sadder part. I glanced at the rest of the article. The dude, so there's an HBO show or Showtime called Cat House that focuses on the Bunny Ranch or whichever brothel she's going to be doing this at.
Oh.
And so it's like really a famous slimy one? Dude.
It's a famous thing, like a place in Vegas
it
or
is,
something?
It is, yeah. Oh. It's you know, it's the one that that has reality shows and stuff that they filmed there and things like that. Mustang. I'm sorry, that's right. The Mustang Ranch. Hmm. Anyway, the dude who owns it is getting half of the $40,000 or whatever the winning bid turns out to be. So she's doing all this and only getting $200,000 or more for doing it.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's a douche then. Is that just his normal 50%? Is that just normal for them to take
50? I don't think this is anything. I don't think there's anything normal about this situation. It's not like there's a precedence that he says, well, last time we did this, I took half. So that's what I'm going to do this time too.
All right. My guess is, like with all these things, there's more to this story.
Yes. I'm hoping that somebody says, I'll pay you $200,000 not to do this.
Yeah. Plus, you don't just uproot your life and go somewhere and go all in on a bunny ranch style, whatever. Like, there's something. It's not this. There's no way that's this simple. There's more to this story. But as always, I don't do any fact checking. I just like to read it like I get it.
Sure.
So there you go, people. Like this story about a British man found dead at a Spanish airport with a slice of ham on each buttock and his genitalia in a tuna can.
How many hundred thousand dollars was he getting paid for this?
Not near enough.
Okay.
Because maybe it killed him. The British man found dead in mysterious circumstances at an airport in Spain bizarrely had a slice of ham on each of his butt cheeks. I don't know why. I really want to know why there was ham on his butt cheeks. And his genitals in an open tuna can.
Look at me, I'm Jared Fogel. I got $5 foot-long Fridays.
I love the idea that it was Jared. It was actually a man named Stephen Alford. He was 51, aren't they always, was discovered with his hands and feet bound by plastic ties. His trousers pulled down by a bench near the terminal at Malaga Airport? Malaga?
Or Malaga, yeah.
I don't know how you say it.
You want to pronounce it like Galaga, don't you?
Because I really want to. Because it's Galaga with an M. Yeah, like Malaga is like some ripoff version of Galaga that had more waves of enemies or something.
So all of a sudden this turned into like a sick sexual fetish into somebody did this. I mean, the fact that his hands and feet were bound by plastic ties means that somebody did this to him after, you know, to humiliate him, which is I mean, it's a horrible story either way.
Yeah, it's weird.
But now
either
it just
way.
Took a really horrendous turn.
Took a nice turn there. Bad turn, that is to say, when I say nice. Murder detectives. Okay, hold on a second. That's an awesome title.
Murder detectives.
What do you do for the
That's a That's an ABC 1 hour procedural just waiting to happen.
Murder detectives. I love that. Anyway, they're waiting on the results for a postmortem, but suspect he may have been asphyxiated, possibly due to choking or throttling. People are seeking to establish what he was doing at the airport and whether he had missed a flight home or was sleeping rough. What does that mean, sleeping rough?
I don't know.
This is a very foreign article on the mirror.co.uk. Of course it is. Security guard made the grim discovery just before 9 a.m. on Friday. Shocked tourists filmed the moment Mr. Alford's body was put into a stretcher and taken away after police searched the area for clues of the suspected killing. Officers are also examining CCTV, or as we'd say, closed caption television.
It's closed circuit.
Oh, is it? I thought it was closed. Oh, yeah, closed caption.
I don't think they're going to be looking to see what it says in other languages while he's getting...
Give me some subtitles. We need to know what's going on here.
That's right. They're speaking in another language. That's all right. We've got CCTV.
Yeah, it's totally fine. wasn't that a comedy on Canadian television for a while with John Candy in it? CCTV? I think that's what that was.
It was, yeah. And Eugene Levy and...
It was a hell of a thing. Rick Moranis?
Oh, sleeping rough, according to the Urban Dictionary, means being homeless. Thanks, J.C. Calhoun.
I've never heard that. Sleeping
rough. I haven't heard that either. Sleeping rough. Hmm. Wow.
Okay. I thought maybe it was like he was naked, sleeping naked.
Right, or just...
You know what I mean?
Sleeping Rough Rider.
Yeah, sleeping in the raw with his ma and pa. Arkansas in the news. Arkansas. Arkansas judge who, quote, traded sexual favors in return for lighter sentences has been indicted. Gosh dang it, Scott.
It's indicative of indictment.
Indictment, exactly. A retired Arkansas judge has been charged with fraud and bribery for allegedly giving lighter sentences to male defendants in exchange for nude photos and what they refer to here as sexual acts. Joseph Bockman. That's a weird name. Bockmann.
There you go. In case you're trying to friend him on Facebook, that's the spelling of his name.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, I got somebody spoofed me over the weekend.
Oh yeah, Tina said that she saw a post about that from you, that somebody was going around saying they were Scott Johnson and friending a bunch of people.
Yeah, had an account that wasn't mine that had all my photos and stuff. They were using like my cover photo, and they were friend requesting all the people on my list, and then those that fell for it. They started up a conversation with them going, hey, how's it going? And they'd say, oh, hey, I'm a big fan of the shows and stuff. And then the thing would say, great. Did you know you can make $10,000 a month just by staying at home? Like, it was just big spam account. And if you get that, it isn't me. All right. I don't know why that happened. And I didn't know that happened. So apparently now I'm one more piece of innocence stripped from me before my death.
What you need to do is do append your photo with the word real on top of it so that people know it's the real you.
Yeah. Holding a piece of paper that says, what would I have it say?
Right. I am the real Scott Johnson. I don't know. Okay. Furt. You hold up a piece of paper that says Furt, people will know it's really you.
Yep. And the Swedish will think it's a famous guy that won the Pulitzer Prize. Because that happened anyway. So what was the deal here? He's 70 years old, by the way. He pleaded not guilty, and he faces 21 counts of federal charges that include wire fraud, witness tampering, and bribery. The indictment accuses Mr. Brockman of corruptly using his official position as an Arkansas district judge to obtain personal services, sexual contact, and the opportunity to view and to photograph in compromising positions, persons who appeared before him in traffic and misdemeanor criminal cases in exchange for dismissal of the cases. That's the official word on that.
All right, so we're going to give you 1 point off your license and $150, but grab that Polaroid camera on the way back into my chambers, please.
He had some of them spank him and then take photos of the spanking to show that he had red bum.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, super, super weird.
Creepy.
It says at least one of the alleged victims was only 16. That's rough. It has only been alleged the former cross blah, 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 judge. So the judge also allegedly had more than 4,600 photos of nude or semi-nude men on his computer.
Yeesh.
Well, there you go. People in power doing a dumb thing.
Mm-hmm.
Final story. A woman is suing KFC for £16 million. Because the family, this is in, I guess, somewhere in Britain. It had to be Britain, right? Pounds? Euros?
It's Metroco UK, but it's a New York Post article, so...
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, and it was she called Georgia. So this is an American event reported by a British newspaper.
All right, so they've.
Oh, and oh, you know they're reporting million. This because it's like, oh, those Americans and their love of fast food. Let's do another fast food article about the Americans.
Great meeting, everyone. Go about your work. A woman is suing KFC for $20 million is what that translates to, dollars, for family bucket wasn't filled to the top. Anna Wurzburger.
Oh, come on now.
That's her name, Wurzburger.
Made up.
Wurzburger. She's like forward for the Philadelphia Flyers or something.
Now
like
playing a, for the...
Yeah, Wurzburger. It's the goal. She's from New York. She bought the chicken for $20. There's a whole bucket of chicken over there. And says that it's a rare treat. Hold on a second. Somebody on this planet says that getting a bucket of KFC is a rare treat. There's
nothing rare about that business.
Nor is there anything a treat about that
business. Good point.
But was shocked when it looked nothing like KFC ads. Well, that's a big shock that fast food ads don't look like the food.
Didn't look like the picture on the poster? Yeah. Jeez.
Gee, I, why does my burrito
look
like
a... It's a rare treat when the food you order... Well, that's a rare treat.
Gee, Taco Bell, why does my burrito look like a Gibbon's anus instead of the photo that's on the wall? It says, she told the New York Post, I came home and said, where's the chicken? I thought I was going to have a couple of meals. You got half a bucket. That's false advertising. It doesn't feed the whole family. They're small pieces. Furious, was the 64-year-old widow. She rang up KFC's headquarters in Georgia to complain and was told the chicken was portrayed prominently in the commercial so that the public could see the chicken. But she wasn't buying any of it, Wurzburger said. If you want the public to look at your chicken, put it in a dish. It's a lot of BS. I expect to get what you're telling me I'm getting. So she's suing for $20 million. I don't think she's going to win it. I don't think she's going to win it.
No.
I'm no...
Clearly, it was an inch and a half below the the top line.
I am no expert on law or consumerism, but I know that she's not getting $20 million. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah.
All right. There's
a kick in the pants and a...
Just swing low. Go for like, I don't know, try to get 5K out of them or something.
Right.
You might actually have them settle it because they don't care about that small amount of money, you dummies. All right. Quick word from a sponsor. We'll be back in a second. Stay tuned. Guys, I talk about Squarespace on the show all the time, and I do it because I like it, not just because they're sponsoring. I mean, I like that too, but one of the things we always make sure of here on the show and shows like it, I don't do advertising for stuff I don't try and like. And I like Squarespace a lot. And if you've been living under a rock, well, maybe you don't know what Squarespace is, so I'm going to tell you real briefly here. Everybody needs a website. If you have a small company or you know, just an individual or whatever, you need a site. You need a place to call your own. You can say to people, go to jimjobjibby.com and check out my latest whatever. Well, how are you going to do that if you don't know how to build one? And even if you do know how to build one, do you have the time to just get in there and make it and then manage it and everything? Probably not. I know I don't. So Squarespace is great for that. They have all the templates and tools you need to make a beautiful website right now to sell something. Even if it's just a simple blog. If it's a fan page for, I don't know, the Smurfs or something. That's great for that. And you get a free trial for 14 days without a credit card needed. I really, really like that. Here's the best part, though. I'm going to save you a little extra money because when you're done with that trial, I know you're going to want to stay. And when you do, let's cut another 10% off. All right? 10% off your order by using the code MORNING at checkout. That's MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. Build it beautiful. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's major spoilers. We got stuff to talk about. Donald Glover in the news. I'm very excited about that.
Yes.
But in the meantime, Brian brought an independent film song thing for the middle, and you're going to play it now. What is it?
This will be a departure from the usual stuff people hear in Indie in the Middle, and I love this. This is Lee Fields and the Expressions. This is a new album that's coming out November 4th via Big Crown Records, thanks to them. The album is called Special Night. He's also going to be touring behind the album, so if you like this, and I think you will, it is it is a good opportunity to go see him. This is a great tune. It is Lee Fields and the Expressions from the upcoming album, Special Night, and a bluesy, funky, very funky, let's just say funk, soul song called Make This World.
Oh, sounds all right. Let's play it now. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
You better watch out if you wanna survive. Listen to me or just step aside. Keep your eyes peeled if you want to survive. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. We can make the world better if we come together. Watch out for me, I watch out for you. Know you got my back, you know I got your back.
Listen, when you gotta pee, you gotta pee, right? You gotta just let it loose. All right, here's this.
The morning stream. I'm a leaf on the wind. Watch how I soar.
Right, we're back. Hello, everybody, and we're back. Let's get to it here. By the way, these clips I've been playing today are from this weekend's, this previous weekend's Film Sack, which I highly recommend you check out. We did The Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage.
Wickerman.
I think it was a...
Larry Wickerman.
I think it was a piece of poop.
It was. And, boy, if you're disappointed by the ending, you're not the only one.
Yeah. It's a kind of a hot piece of garbage.
It is. it's a great
Oh yeah, no. Listen,
great description.
We got out of it what we needed for sure.
Yes. Like crappy movie, fantastic, fantastic.
Yeah.
Deal. Yes.
Fantastic deal.
Fantastic film sack.
Fantastic deal.
Fantastic deal.
You were at a loss for a word there.
I was exactly at a loss for a word. What kind of a deal?
I don't mind that deal. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now in welcoming to the program Monday's own Stephen Schleicher. Hello, Stephen.
Hello.
Did you know that you belonged exclusively to Monday? Did you know
Yay!
That? Yay! Yeah.
Although I am available Tuesday through Thursday as well.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. Busy over there running the empire that is known as the MajorSpoilers.com empire. Lots of podcasts, lots of content, lots of cool stuff. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
I love being here.
We have a ton of rain today that's heading your way, so enjoy that. Yeah, heading to Colorado.
Actually, it'll probably hit Brian and then just just peter out.
Yeah, it'll peter out by the time we see you
hit Nebraska.
Sure. Then you guys can just be the Dust Bowl again. It's fine.
We will. We're getting close.
Yeah. Well, that's great. It's good to have you here. Of course, I don't want to do anything till we do this. It's our Rockford Files update with Stephen Schleicher.
So if you guys ever watch the Rockford Files, and I know everyone is watching the Rockford Files, you will notice in about season one, James Garner starts to limp a little bit when he's running. And then as you watch season two, especially by midway, he's limping a lot when he's running. Mm. And that has to do with the fact that he was injured while he was in the National Guard. He went to Korea. Mm-hmm. He was injured twice in Korea. Once shrapnel blew up and hit his hand in his face. The other time he was diving into a foxhole and got shot in the ass.
Wow.
Wow. But
then I hear you can put some ham on that.
I guess.
That's what I've heard, too. Dude, he's a war hero.
Or whatever.
If he took a bullet in the butt, that's a serious...
He was awarded the Purple Heart twice.
Wow.
Because of that.
Oh, wow,
well,
great.
Because of both of those injuries.
Yeah.
But then in the first season of Rockford Files, he twisted his knee on set, and it progressively got worse as time went on, to the point between seasons two and season three, he had to have knee surgery, I believe, on both knees, which caused a lot of trouble because during season two, the doctors told him, hey, you're going to have to be off the knee for a couple of days. He would let the production know. And NBC tried to sue him because of this, because they were claiming he was breach of contract and doing some shenanigans so he could get more money out of people.
No.
And this happened continuously through the run of the season, to the point where Garner would, you know, they would threaten to sue him and to fire everybody if he didn't come back onto set, regardless of what doctors said. So he'd come back and do this. And coupled with the fact that he liked doing all of his own stunts, the knees just got worse and worse until you got into 79, I believe is what it was. Mm-hmm. He was injured again. And the doctors were like, look, this time your knees are gone. You have to stay off of them for like a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then NBC was just like, oh, fine, we're just canceling the show. And that's how come the show ended when it did, and why so many of the later episodes don't have Garner in them is because he physically couldn't be on set because his knees were so bad. Mm. If you watch, I forget what episode it is. I think it's in season three. There's an episode where he gets shot and he falls down his trailer steps and his pants rip. If you watch carefully, you can actually see the knee pads that he's wearing under his pants because his knees were so bad at the time.
Really? Oh, wow. That's crazy. It wouldn't have been ironic if the network would have like hired a private investigator to watch him and see if he's like out playing frisbee and flying football on the weekends.
He had he'd have a silver Firebird. And mm-hmm. I like that idea a lot. That's pretty good. Hey, I noticed.
But that's why the series eventually ended, and that's why when you're watching the show, when he's not running really hard, he's limping because he's in physical pain.
Uh-oh. Did you know they were rebooting the show in 2010 and it failed?
That was a while ago. That has what's his name from Swingers?
Dermot Mulroney.
McRolney?
No. What's his name? The tall guy.
Oh, it says here. Okay, so in 2010, it says here NBC planned reboot of the 70s private eye classic, The Rockford Files, which includes mildly beloved rom-com prince Dermot Mulroney taking the James Garner iconic role, was one of the most hyped pilots of the fall. Based on
bounce forward a few years and you'll see that what's his name, the guy that's in all the really kind of bad comedies with a heart, and he was in Swingers. I keep forgetting his name at the moment. He was also
not Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
Oh
really?
Vince Vaughn was going to play Rockford.
I could see. I could see them. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't, but I can kind of see why they'd pick him. You know, he's got that kind of
charming
everyman. A little bit.
yeah, as of 2014, he was going to be in the Rockford reboot.
Okay, so here's my thinking. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with trying this. You could do this. Like, you could make a good Rockford Files modern take. I think that you could.
I don't think you can.
I think you can, and here's why. You need people who have a beloved feeling for the original show.
Mm-hmm.
You need the absolute perfect right actor. I don't know who it is. I'd have to think on this. Maybe that's what I'll do between now and next week, is I'll think of who could do it.
Should be the new Rockford?
Yeah.
And I think Vince Vaughn would be good at it.
You know, I mean, but you know what? I'm going to make a claim here that may be controversial, but I think that Nathan Fillion is basically today's James Garner in a lot of ways. He's got that same sort of aloof sort of...
Mm-hmm. He's cool without trying to be mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's kind of, and he's also kind of funny and self-effacing. But he's also, you know, man of action when he needs to be. Like a guy mm-hmm. like that could probably pull it off. I'm not saying he's my pick. It's just top of my head. But my point is, like, how sacred is the ground, Stephen? Or do you think that they could do it or not?
Well, the movies that they made in late 90s, early 2000s were really, really popular. But I think they also showed some of the problems that adapting Rockford for modern times were, in the fact that, and this is a problem with a lot of modern detective tales, is technology makes it easy to be a detective. So you can sit behind your desk and do all of your detective work on the computer, whereas what made Rockford really nice is he's driving around, he's doing footwork, he's getting into fights. When you watch some of those more the movies, yeah, a lot of times he's going onto the computer to do all of his background checks. He's not going to visit the police department to do things. He's got his cell phone to take care of stuff. He doesn't have the answering machine where you have all these intros to the shows. Yeah. So I think part of the problem is putting it in modern times. And I think that's the biggest difficulty, is how do you make something like Rockford, which relied on the technology of the time,
yeah,
how do you make it work in a time where you have access to everything at the touch of the fingers?
So spending 6 hours doing Wikipedia searches to try to nail down your right suspect is probably not the most exciting way to portray right this. Here's the other thing, though. Like, it just hit me that maybe we already have our modern take on this kind of thing, and it's being done really well, and it's a little more self-serious, but Bosch is really good.
Yeah, I haven't watched Castle, but I understand Castle may be kind of the same way before. I think that's over, but yeah.
I think it's over, too, but it's but I would say Bosch is kind of your comparison. It's a little more hardcore, a little more serious, but it's the, you know, kind of lone detective man, although he actually works for the police department. He's a real, you know, actual detective or whatever, but he's not... You know, there's a lot of differences, but my point is, I think it can be done in a modern context. I just think the right people have to be there. It's like Fargo and why it's so good. It has no right to be so good, but the right people are doing it, so it's good. You
know? The problem with Rockford, and this is how you can make it work in a modern time, is, again, let's take your Vince Vaughn or your Nathan Fillions or whoever. Yeah. They can't have it going on. They have to be driving the 30-year-old car. They have to still have a flip phone because they can't get the jobs, and they're still paying their bills, and they can't afford to get the newest technology. That's the way that you would have to make it work.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, and you know, Jim Rockford was always avoiding bill collectors and having people come after him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you could make someone who is as down on their luck in modern times likable as much as Jim Rockford was.
Maybe. Yeah. It's all down to the actor and how much charm you can get out of him. But they basically pulled this off with that, The Night Of's limited series they ran on HBO.
Oh, yeah, that's really good.
It was great, and that's kind of what's his name was. He was just sort of gumshoe, and he didn't have the money, and was kind of a lame lawyer, and always was ambulance chasing and everything. And, you know, there's ways to do this, even though he was a lawyer, not a detective. But the idea is the same. So anyway, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is I hold out hope that something could be done. In the meantime, come back next week for more of this. All right. Let's get to the real nerdy news of the week.
Nerdy news.
Maybe maybe the finest, nice, the finest casting I've heard of in quite a while. Donald Glover is going to literally play. You know what? I haven't felt this way since Patrick Stewart was pegged to play Professor X. And I remember that was a huge deal when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was like, oh my gosh, it's perfect. It's freaking perfect. It's like a storybook ending. You couldn't have had a better casting. And I feel that way about this. Donald Glover to play young Lando Calrissian.
Yeah, so this news was confirmed by Disney on Thursday or Friday of last week. where they said that we have hired Donald Glover. He went through a number of tests and there were many actors in front of him. But the two directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, said, no, you know what? Donald Glover is the best choice for this. So yeah. They've worked through his schedule of the show that he's currently on. And it looks like he's going to be available to shoot. The nice thing is that I believe the young Han Solo movie will be shot in Atlanta mostly. So that's going to be nice for Glover's current schedule as well. And we don't know what the story is. I'm hoping it's an adaptation of, what is it, Timothy Zahn's Scoundrels. Mm. But I think a lot of it is up in the air, and a lot of people are pointing to, well, this will be the story of how Han Solo got the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, or how he, mm-hmm. he won it in the bet or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Right.
They'll probably allude to that.
The equivalent poker game.
Sabacc or whatever.
Sabacc, that's what it was. Yeah.
We were talking about on Current Geek whether we wanted that to really happen or not, because it seems like... it's just kind of a hey, fan service, here we go. Like, yeah, here's this thing. So we're hoping we get a lot of new stuff too. But anyway, he's perfectly cast. Like, is there a better guy to play Lando? I can't think of anyone to play young Lando that I would rather have than Donald Glover.
Lando Calrissian in the morning.
Here's the big bet, though. Is he going to have the little...
We need Abed as a Lobot, then, don't we?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, dude. Don't tempt me with such things. That's an amazing idea. Is he going to have the mustache or not? That's the question.
Probably.
Okay.
I mean, if you follow... I mean, depends on how you follow things. Before Lando became the regent governor of whatever of Cloud City, the Baron Administrator of Cloud City.
Yeah.
He was a smuggler, obviously, mm-hmm. and that's when he and Han were together. But after he lost the Millennium Falcon, he went and started doing mining operations. And if you watch Star Wars Rebels, you'll see that there's an arc where Lando shows up several times in that series as a miner on Lothal and doing some other things. So they've kind of established kind of where Lando was in various points throughout the Star Wars history. So now we need a movie to kind of make it a little bit more official.
Yeah. Well, I'm stoked.
It should be interesting.
I'm stoked. I think that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard about this through back channels, but the SAG-AFTRA. It's crazy. The SAG-AFTRA folks, this is the VO video game people. This is our, the world of Liam
Screen
O'Brien.
Actors Guild.
Sure. They're going on strike, like big
they
time.
Are on strike. They are currently on strike. And if you, I guess, downtown Los Angeles, I forget who they're striking in front of today. Let me see. Today they are striking at Electronic Arts today from 10:30 until 12:30.
Yeah, they're a big one for
They'll be picketing there. So apparently there's been a 20-year contract in place in regards to the voice actors for video games. And now as the video games start to branch out into other media and more interactive wares, they are trying to renegotiate this contract. And I guess they are having no luck. So they've decided to go on strike.
Yeah. So it's like a 20 year old provisions in a contract that no longer apply. And they have a very strong case. It's not against every publisher and every video game house.
It includes Activision, Blind Light, Core of Discovery Films, Disney Character Voices, Electronic Arts, Formosa Interactive, Insomniac Games, Interactive Associates, Take-Two Interactive, VoiceWorks, and WB Games.
Yeah, now, there's some confusion as to whether the Activision thing, if that includes Blizzard, we don't know. Blizzard is notorious for treating VO actors and directors really well.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not, they may be exempt somehow, but since they're tied with Activision, nobody knows for sure, but there's a lot of VO in Blizzard games.
Yeah.
So, it's a big, crazy deal. And a listener to this show, Liam O'Brien, the voice of Illidan Stormrage and War, in that one game, forgot the name of the game, and lots of stuff. If you played a video game, you've heard Liam talking.
You've heard his work.
Yeah. He's worked in everything. He's part of this and it sounds crazy, man. It sounds like they have a real, they have a real grievance here.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
It's something you don't immediately think of when you think of SAG and you think of actors and what kind of provisions they get and payment. It should be commensurate depending on the work that they put in. And I'm guessing that a lot of voice actor work that they do for video games doesn't get the scale that an equivalent actor would get in a voiceover for an animated movie, for example.
Or even just, you know, VO for commercials. They have better rates. Not only that, but that there's a lot of screaming, yelling, and dying noises coming out of you when you're doing video games, and huge stress on
your vocal cords for sure.
Yeah, the tool, the literally the tool of your trade, and you're not having any additional compensation and or like rest periods or any of that stuff. Despite that, so yeah, I feel like they're they have a good thing to stand on here. Let's see how it goes. Okay, one final thing. What was I gonna? I was gonna tell you something. What was it? Oh, I was gonna tell you. Shoot, it was really good. I was gonna tell you at the end. Oh, I know what it was. All right, my daughter's making a film for her film class in college. And Brian, you'll like this. It's a science fiction film. She's done all the principal filming, most of the editing. It's due this Thursday. She's done some soundtrack stuff, including original music for it. That's a cover of something you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
So I want you to hear a taste of this. Now, imagine this though with some echo and some like discordant tone and things like that for her science fiction movie. But check this out. Sure. I gotta skip ahead a little. Oh, you can't hear it very well.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
It's for the Willy Wonka song.
Yeah.
Oh, that's super cool. Anyway, I'm so excited for it. That's really cool. So I thought I'd use this opportunity where we talk about movies and stuff to tell people about that. And we'll
Some echo and some like metal noises and stuff in the back of that.
Yeah, so it's going to seem very like, oh, that's a happy song put against this dystopic.
So
yeah, because she went out and filmed this thing in the salt flats, so it looks like an alien world out there. Huh. She's all into it. I'll put it up so people can see it.
Yeah.
She's the next Dan Trachtenberg, I tell you.
They are trying to work on a Willy Wonka prequel.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if this covers. I mean, if you've read the book, you know that there's a time period that they do go into. How did Wonka get the Oompa Loompas and some of the other adventures that he was on
They touch on that in the Tim Burton version, too, like him going and rescuing the Oompa Loompas from the...
whatever they were.
His dad was Count Dooku or something. And there was like a...
yes, right.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah.
And then it was all Deep Roy. He found Deep Roy and then duped Deep Roy a bunch? Or was there a bunch of Deep Roys?
Deep Roy.
Why has that never been said out loud? Doop Roy is funny because there's tons of them.
Doop Roy.
Yeah, he's not Deep Roy in that movie. He's Doop Roy. That's interesting. Who's doing that? Do we know who's making that?
I think it's in early talks right now.
Okay. Tim Burton again or no? We don't know.
No, I don't think Tim Burton's involved.
Okay. And Johnny Depp's too busy hating on his wife or whatever to do new things, right? He's not going to be in
At least got Pirates of the Caribbean 27 coming out.
Yeah, that's true. That new one is coming out this fall, right?
Yeah, what is it? Dead Man's Chest? Dead Men Tell No Tales?
No, Dead Movies Never Stop Making Movies.
Yeah, we keep making more money, so we'll keep making these movies.
Yeah. It's been a while since the last one, though. Like...
4 years?
That's a long time to take a break on what... Well, I thought it was dead because everybody hated that last one. Like,
yeah, but it still made like $500,000.
Did it really?
$1 billion, sorry.
Oh, geez. All right, well, you never know what you're going to do. Watch for that. All right, more of this sort of stuff can be found on the welcoming shores of majorspoilers.com. So people should go there and check it out and follow you on Twitter at Major Spoilers. Anything else happening this week on the site?
Real quickly, it's something that I posted last week, and I think you should get on board with this, Scott. After the Logan trailer dropped, I was like, you know what? This would make a great black and white movie. So I grabbed a bunch of stills, turned them into black and whites, and posted them up there. I think I sent you a link on that last week.
Yeah.
But I think the Logan movie looks a heck of a lot better in black and white than it does in color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping it gets the same treatment as your other favorite movie of all time, the Fury Road.
Well, I remember on this very show talking about how cool it would be in black and white, and pretty soon rumbling started happening, and I'd like to think we can take credit for that. So maybe this will happen with Logan. You never know.
Yeah.
Are you, when's Logan come out?
March. Okay. March 17th.
And you are pretty bullish on it, right?
I'm pumped on this one because it looks good. We're going to see X-23 in this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We get to see maybe the Ravengers are in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this could be a really good movie. It's definitely not the old man Logan adaptation. where he's basically going through the desert with Spider-Man and killing Hulk and all that stuff. Spoiler alert.
Right.
But this could be a really, really good movie.
Wait, they kill Hulk in that? Does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a, at the end of Old Man Logan, this is a total spoiler, so jump forward about 30 seconds.
That's fine.
At the end, Hulk is still around. But here's how he does it. He eats Logan. Logan reforms and bursts out of the inside of the Hulk, killing him.
Oh, geez.
Wait, really? Yeah, he reforms.
It's pretty disgusting.
Reforms? I mean, did he eat him in parts?
Yeah, he eats him in parts, and then he reforms. He's got the healing factor, man.
Yeah, but that seems a little beyond the old healing factor, doesn't it?
Good thing things lined up right, and he didn't have like an arm growing out of the top of his head.
Right.
Does it feature Professor X in the back of a car going, Wesley, get off the bridge, Wesley, you piece of shit. No. Does that happen? No.
No.
Okay. I can't wait for this. It will be good. Although it's the same director as the last one, and the last one was okay. But not great.
No, this will be fun.
Yeah, I hope so. All right.
Oh, hey, head and shoulders beyond Origins. So.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was happy with the Wolverine.
It was fine. Mm-hmm. By the way, everyone complains about the Batman. Nobody complained about the Wolverine.
It's true.
Why is that?
I don't know.
What is
that's
with
really
people?
Good. That's a really good question.
Nobody once said to me, "I can't believe they're calling it the Wolverine. That's so stupid." But everyone keeps saying that the Batman.
I think it's because we were so relieved after. After Origins, we'll take it. Whatever. I don't care what the name is. Just make it better than Origins.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
How many were there after Origins? There only been three of these? This is the third one.
This is the third one, yeah.
Oh, Origins was such shite.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Steven, leave it on that note.
Right.
Always a pleasure, dude. Everyone follow him. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Always something cool going on. Listen to his shows and all that stuff. Steven, take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
Does he mean we're bisexual guys?
Yeah, that's exactly what he means. His insinuations, I swear.
It's rough, man. All right, we're going to do a quick email, a very important question coming up in the next week and a half. And before I do that, I'll say the emails today are brought to you by...
By Soundography. Brand new episode posted this morning about the band Rush. Three guys, over 40 years of music, Alex Lifeson, Geddy Lee, and Neil Peart. Just amazing music from those three guys over four decades. Hammond and I listened to it all, and we're going to talk to you about it right there. Soundography.com.
So what stuck out as your favorite Rush stuff? Was there an era where you went, yep, that's
absolutely the 70s era. For me, it was actually pre-Moving Pictures. There was a run of about four albums where I said, this is the Rush that we need. This is the fantastic.
And they were like concept albums and like big long albums and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm all right with, the really, conceptual long prog rocky kind of songs, but,
I like them too.
I'm looking back here at the notes here. It was, Farewell to Kings, Hemispheres, Permanent Waves, and Moving Pictures. It was right there. It was like those four albums.
That was
were
a
just,
great run, yeah.
It was a really, really good run. And John Rutsey, by the way, Strike It Rich, is asking who the original drummer was before Neil Peart. Mm. Only on the self-titled album, everything 1975 and after was Neil Peart.
Yeah, and he's the one that won't fly anywhere. He only rides his motorcycle.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Doesn't want to fly.
And he's an incredible drummer. And when he would come out and do incredible those big drummer. Rotating stage things, oh my gosh.
Had a really hard time in the 90s with losing his wife and his daughter.
Yeah. Rough.
In two separate situations, two separate events.
Yeah. He's a genius though, that guy. Mm-hmm.
He really is. Yeah.
I love those guys. Rush, man. That's when you knew you were cool in high school if you had a Rush t-shirt. Oh man.
Oh, Peart. Sorry, Neil Peart.
Peart.
I thought it was Peart. Neil Peart.
I always said Peart growing up.
Yeah, and I think in the show we say Peart.
Peart.
Because Hammond starts me on the road of pronouncing it Peart, and I
that's the sound of a green olive ricocheting off your head.
Peart.
Peart. That's what it sounds like. All right.
Not a black olive, but a green olive.
Here's your quick email. It says, hi, are you guys okay if people come up to you at BlizzCon and say hi? Thanks, Ben.
No freaking way. You'll have to talk to my agent.
That's right. 10 feet in diameter around me at all times. You must have a pre-design. No, of course you can. Come up
absolutely.
And say hi. That's the
please
point.
Please do.
I don't go there for my fun. I don't really,
What?
I mean, it's fun. But
I'll go there for my health.
I mean, I go there mainly to see people and to see you and to hang out with friends and to meet people I haven't seen.
And that is the fun. That's the fun that we go there for. So let me clarify what you meant by you don't go there. You don't go there for your own solitude and experience. You go there to be part of the community and meet people.
Yeah, to mingle and stuff. If it was just the other way, I'd be just playing video games the whole time with my head down, not talking to anyone. So I'm not, that is definitely not me. So yes, please come up, say hello.
If you see us, interrupt us,
yeah.
Get ice cream with us, have a cup of coffee with us, whatever. And
And I'm helping moderate a panel on Saturday for Overwatch. You're welcome to come.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll definitely be there. Is that going to be in that round stage did your thing last time?
It's upstairs now, but I don't know where up there.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It's third floor, I think. Yeah.
And I'll be there.
Okay. All right. I'll let you know. All right, sorry, people, we're back. Brian and I had to have a conversation. None of you heard
it. Glad you guys didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, it was fine. All right, big thanks to everybody who made today's show possible, including the fine folks at alphageekradio.com, diamondclub.tv, frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can find all our contact details there, ways to support us, ways to contact us, follow us, all that stuff. Let's get out of here and be done. Tomorrow, brand new show. It'll be good because we missed Jury and Zippy from last week, so it'll be good to have them back. And we'll get to all that tomorrow. What else? Anything else? I guess that's
We're going to eat food tomorrow on the show.
Yeah, we got a new food. Sweden or somewhere?
Oh, food.
Switzerland? Where was it from?
Oh, I don't have it in front of me. I didn't think it was... Oh, it was Canada, I think.
Norway? Oh, maybe it was Canada.
I can't remember. The box is over there, but we'll say all that tomorrow.
People somewhere northerly and white. Snow, I mean, not people. although there are a lot of white people there,
too. Either the Great White North of America or the Great White North of Europe.
Yeah, take off to the Getty Lee. See, we're doing it already. Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah.
One final reminder. Today, the final day to get your 32nd Film Festival films in. They are for the Halloween version of the thing. I forgot what was it. How do I prepare for Halloween?
How I prepare for Halloween.
Yeah. Yep.
And get your submissions in by end of day today. Scott and I begin the arduous review process tomorrow. Yep. And
going to be good.
And issue a winner.
Prize package ahoy. And once again, that URL is tiny.cc/TMS October films. There you go. And there's not two tiny.cc's. I said it twice. I didn't mean to. So the whole thing.
tiny.cc/tiny.cc.
Yeah, it's just tiny.cc/TMS October films. So yes, there you go.
And if you forget that, just tweet us and we'll send it out. Actually, we've actually tweeted out recently. So just look in my recent history of tweets. Mm-hmm. It's one of the last tweets I made. And you'll find a link.
You'll find that I retweeted it.
You did.
I did. That's what we say in the house. Carter will say, "Dad, did you retweet my art?" And I'll say, "What do you need?" She goes, "Please retweet it." And I'll say, "Okay, I've retweeted it." It's a little dad-daughter thing.
Like
anyway, that's it for the show. Thank you all for being here very much. We're going to leave you with a song in your hearts, and I don't know what it is. So, Brian, what do you got?
It's a request. This one's going out to Allison Grant. She says, "Dear Bootscoot and Boogie, October 21st will be my 10-year wedding anniversary to my favorite husband, Jamie. And because we're such awesome planners, instead of spending our 10-year anniversary on the beach, we're going to be spending it running an elementary school fall festival at the school that our kids attend. Nice. I'd like to request a song in celebration of all the wonderful years we've spent together. If you could please find a cover that perfectly marries our favorite bands in celebration of our perfect for us marriage. Jamie's favorite bands are Rush, David Bowie, and Queen. I'm a child of the 80s and like anything from that era, but I also enjoy Toad the Wet Sprocket, A-ha, and Indigo Girls. Here's hoping that the next 10, 20, 30, even 40 years together are just as awesome as the past 10. May we grow old together until we've got scooters. Sincerely, Allison Grant."
Aw, it's adorable. All right,
well, I couldn't find anything, you know, I couldn't find a Rush cover by the Indigo Girls, and by golly, I looked. But you mentioned Queen as one of your favorite bands. And when I think 80s, in addition to new wave and rock, I think of heavy metal as well and hair bands. So how about a hair band cover of Queen? This is the band Enough Zenough. Came out in 2014 with an album called Covered in Gold, featuring covers of a bunch of classic rock songs, including this one that I can only assume is about how crazy about each other you guys are. Stone Cold Crazy by Enough is Enough.
Stone Cold Crazy. Al Capone. There's a rumor going around, gotta clear out of town, and I'm smelling like a traffic bone. Here come the law, gonna break down the door, gonna carry me away what's more. I never get it anymore. Gotta get away from the Stone Cold Flare. He's gonna come and get me. I gotta get me a big run. They got the sirens loose. I ran right out of juice. They're gonna put me in a cell. If I can't go there, I wanna let me go.
Oh, that was so quick at the end there. I'm not ready for it. Hold on. There we go.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
That's me. That's bad, right?
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know why or what the deal was.